title of my message this morning, Can These Bones Live? Can These Bones Live? Now, I understand that the primary interpretation of this passage of Scripture that I've read is to Israel. To God, through the preacher, telling them that He's going to bring them up out of Babylon and bring them back into the land of Palestine. But by God's grace, I want to use this, the spiritual interpretation. There's always a practical interpretation, a spiritual interpretation, literal and spiritual. But I want to, by God's grace, to look at the spiritual interpretation of this, the spiritual application of it. And if you notice, as I read these 14 verses here in Ezekiel 37, that this is full of free grace, sovereign grace, powerful grace. It's God working. This whole passage reveals the salvations of the Lord. There's no ifs. There was not an if in any verse I read. Not an if, no word. There were no buts. I will if, or I will but. There were no conditions. There were no conditions set. No conditions that God told a man that he had to meet. Nothing like that. Just grace. Power of God. The glory of God. The Word of God. The Spirit of God. The preacher of God. But there's all that you've seen in this was a valley full of very dead, very dry bones. Dry bones. And God asked the question. And He asked, and when God asked a question, He never asked for information. No. You go through the Scriptures and look at the questions our Lord asked, that God asked. And He never asked for information. He asked the question so that we, the answer's in the question. Always in the question. You know, some men came to Him one time, some lepers, and wanted to heal Him. He said, "You believe that I'm able to do this?" Well, the answer was in the question. And that's what, the answer's always in the question. Can these bones live? Left up to me and left up to you? No. But He's not asking this for information. No. There's a lot of preachers around, you know, think that God's looking for information. And if He'd ever get a hold of me, I could teach Him some things. But oh, that's not the way it is. You know that as well as I do. But I tell you, let me just make a few comments here on this particular chapter. First of all, here we have a valley full of very many, very dry bones, dead bones. And this is the thing. Only the Lord, only God can make a man know the true condition of men. Only God can do that. Notice the first thing that happens. The hand of the Lord was upon me. God's got to put His hand on a man. And He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Carried me out. That's kind of like the Apostle Paul when he said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I was caught up by the Spirit into the third heaven. Whether I was in the body or out, I cannot tell. That's the way Ezekiel was. It's the way John was when he was caught up in the Spirit and taken up into heaven and saw everything there. He was still on earth, but still what he saw was heavenly. And that's what happened here. He carried me out in the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord's got to put it, God's got to put His hand on a man. And then when He carried him out by the Spirit, He set him right down in the middle of this valley, which was full of bones. Set him down. Set him down the middle of it. And here's this valley. It's full of bones. Now, he had no idea that this valley existed. He had no idea that these bones were there. He had no idea of the condition of these bones until God took him and set him in the middle of them. And that's the way it is. We don't have a clue what man's like till God takes us and sets us down right in the middle of them. It's like Isaiah. Look over in Isaiah chapter 6 with me. I've quoted this so many times. Let's look at it again together. Everybody knows where I'm going, what I'm going to say about this. But this is the way it is. You know, a man called me yesterday and talked about how much trouble he was in and all that. And I kept, he said, what can I do? What can I do? And I said, well, that's your whole problem. You want to do something. He said, what if I get moved on by the Spirit and I want to come to the front and pray? I said, that's what you want. You want to do something. That's your whole problem. I said, what you need to do is sit and hear the gospel. You don't know nothing about God. You don't know nothing about the Bible. You don't know nothing about yourself. You don't know nothing about sin. Come, hear the gospel. He said, well, what do I need to do? I've told him a dozen times, but I told him once, come and sit down and hear the gospel. Hear the Word. That's what God uses. And so God carried me. And I wouldn't have known that had not God taught me that. Had not God carried me in the Spirit and set me right in the middle of a bunch of dry bones. He's a dead, dry bone, but he don't know it. He thinks he's got the ability to get up and do something. But here it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne. If you ever see the Lord, that's exactly where you'll see him. Always on his throne. And he was high and he was lifted up. He wasn't standing over a banister of heaven with his hands outstretched begging and pleading for you to come to him. He didn't have tears in his eyes. And will you say, will you please let me into your heart? That's not what he said. And his train, he had a train. You see all these women with these great long trains, take four or five women to carry her while they come to get married. Well, he had a train. It was a train of glory and light and power. And there was all these seraphims behind him. Six of them. And all began to cry, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And oh, because of that, things began to shake. And God's house filled with smoke, the Shekinah glory of God. And when he saw that, then he said, woe is me. He said, I'm undone. What does he mean, I'm undone? That means I'm cut off.
Yeah.
I'm cut off. Huh? And not only that, but he says, I'm that way. And not only me, but everybody around me is the same boat. I dwell in the midst. And that's where Ezekiel was, in the midst of a valley of dead, dry bones. And he didn't know they was there till God took him and showed him. And you won't know the condition you're in till you see the Lord. And I didn't know the condition man was in till God carried me out in the Spirit. Ain't that right? And then look what it says back over here in verse 2. And then he caused me to pass round about them. He took him and made him look all over him. He wanted him to see that there was nothing but deadness and dryness and lifelessness everywhere he looked. He went through that valley, said, go all around, took him all around these bones. Went from one end of that valley to the other. Went from the left to the right, the north, the south, the east, went all around. And when he did, he says, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. Oh, God made him to see that what an awful state and condition they were in. Wrecked, ruined. And it's only by being in the Spirit that things are seen clearly. And there's no evidence. God won't even see there's no evidence of any life whatsoever.
Amen.
No evidence of life. Dried up through pride. Dried up through worldliness. Dried up through self-righteousness. Dried up through self-dependence. Dried up through traditions. Dried up through self-opinions. Dried up through all false religions. Dried up through false confessions of faith and religious experiences. Dead and dry. And then God says to him and asks him a question. He says in verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? Oh my. Oh my. Can these bones live? There are very many of them. They're very dry. And look down the last part of verse 9. It says down here, these slain, and breathe upon these slain. They were slain. How was they slain? Through their relationship to Adam. They all died in Adam.
Amen.
All dried in Adam. All of them dead in Adam. Adam sinned. When he sinned, we sinned. When he died, we died. By one man, sin entered into this world, and death passed upon all because all have sinned. And oh my, there's not a righteous man on the face of this earth. God went looking for a good man. He never found one. And he comes back with this conclusion. You read it tonight in Psalm 14, and you read it in Psalm 53. He went looking for a good man. He come back and said, I didn't find a one. He went looking for a righteous man. He come back and said, there's not a one. Not a one. And oh, beloved, when God takes you out in the Spirit and sets you in the middle of a valley of dry bones, He teaches you. You look around everybody and say, they're not righteous. I'm not righteous. They're not good. I'm not good. Now, we're talking about in the sight of God.
Amen.
We're not talking about in the sight of one another. We're talking about why God views us. And God knew these dead, dry bones were there, very many, and He had a preacher that He wanted to teach what condition men were in. And oh, my. There's only one answer. Only one answer can be given. Oh, Lord God, You're the only one who knows. You know who they are. You know where they are. And You know the condition they're in. Look, now keep Ezekiel. Look over in Matthew 19. Look in Matthew 19 just a minute. Last Sunday morning, as a matter of fact, it was Friday night. Brother Chris preached from this, but he used Mark. But here's this rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus. He wanted something to do, something good to do, to enter into life. Our Lord told him, said, this is what you need to do then. Keep the command. I've done that. Well, sell all you got and give to the poor and come follow me. Oh, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Then look in verse 23. Then our Lord turned to His disciples and said, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now some men say that the eye of a needle is a little bitty door that they had going into Jerusalem. And it was real small. And it'd be very hard for a person to go through it. They took things through it. But no, when our Lord said here through the eye of a needle, He meant literally through the eye of a needle.
It's impossible, yes, sir.
Because that's the next thing He says. Boy, you don't get ahead of me. When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. Saying, well, who in the world then can be saved? Who can be saved? Here's a man who's kept the commandments. Here's a man who is wealthy. And if it's so hard for a man to be saved, he can't pass through the eye of a needle. And our Lord said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And He wanted Ezekiel to know, can these dead bones live? Oh, Lord God, it's impossible with me. It's impossible with anybody else in Israel. But, oh, Lord God, You're the only one that knows. And then look what He says. Oh, my, how would you like to be like? Have the charge to preach like this. And He said, preach. Preach upon these bones. Preach to these bones. And talk to bones. Talking dead, dry, bleached out bones. And tell these bones. Talking to bones now. Preaching to bones. You know, God told Jeremiah, He said, I'm going to send you to a people. They don't talk like you do. They don't understand the language you're talking to, but you're going to tell them anyway. He said, they ain't going to understand the word you say. They ain't going to believe a thing you say. But you're going to go tell them anyway. So this is something that a man just can't take unto himself. And look what he says. Behold, now here's what he's going to tell these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. No, my preach to these bones, say unto them, talk to a bunch of bones. What would the average preacher do in a situation like this today? Lord, You got to get me on television so I can get to more bones. I'll need so much money, I can't go unless I make enough money. I can't go unless I get enough, you know. And then there's the blind preacher. The blind preacher. He ain't never seen God. He ain't never seen himself. He ain't no understand anything about the Bible. Bones? I'll see bones. I see a bunch of fine folks. I see a bunch of people who are doing the best they can. I see a bunch of people that I need to encourage and pick them up and tell them how they ought to have a happy marriage and how they ought to raise their kids and give them all the how-tos that I possibly can. I don't see any bones. Then there's the preacher comes along, you know, he's been educated, he's went to seminary and said, Lord, I'm a rational man. Very rational man. There ain't any use to preach to dead, dry bones. They can't hear me. They ain't going to pay any attention to me. I'm rational. I ain't no sense doing that. And then there's the preacher, you know, that like that woman that they made over the Episcopalian church. If you all heard her, it'd just be anything I ever heard. She said, we love diversity. She said, every theological position's allowed in our. We love every theological position. We don't all have to be the same. Every different views on God, different views. And she said that. And this is going to take over one of the largest denominations. Oh, this is a beautiful valley. Oh, how beautiful, how quiet, how peaceful, how still. That's what she sees, huh? And then there's the feller comes along and says, Lord, these folks really not as bad as everybody lets on. Said if you'll just give me the right words to say and give me the right singers and get the right music and help me. I believe we can talk these folks into making a decision. I believe we can get them to the front and get them saved. Now that's what the average preacher would say today. Ain't that right? But what did he say? What did he say? What did he preach? Here's what he said to them. He never backed up a step. He said, behold, hear the word of the Lord. How in the world are dead dry bones going to hear the word of the Lord? They ain't got ears. They ain't got ears. They can't hear. They ain't got eyes. They can't see. How in the world are they going to hear? How are they going to see? How are they going to listen to this preacher? He says, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. That was the difference. It wasn't him. It was God speaking.
Amen.
It was what God said. It was what thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. He's using the mouth of the preacher. He's using the mouth of Ezekiel. But it's God doing the preaching. And look what he says. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones. I will lay sinews upon you. Huh? I'll bring flesh upon you. And I'll cover you with skin. And I'll put breath in you. And you shall live. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. Huh? Oh my. This is what he said. This is what God says. This is what God says. And guess what this preacher done? He never debated. He never argued. He never questioned. He's standing in the middle of this dead, dry bones, right in the middle of deadness all around him. Bones all around him. Lifelessness all around him. And he's standing there and God speaking through him and he said, and look what it says in verse 7, so I preached as I was commanded.
Yes, sir.
You see, it's what thus saith the Lord. You know, that's what most folks just can't get. That's what they can't understand. They're so used to having their own opinions. So used to having things their own way. So used to looking at the Bible, say, I believe it says this, and this is what I believe about the Bible, and this is what I believe about God. And they never look and say, what does God say about it? And that's what this preacher did. He said, I preached as God commanded me to preach. God commanded me. God didn't ask me. God never inquired of me where I wanted to preach and what I wanted to preach and when I wanted to preach. He put me where He wanted me, put the words in my mouth, and told me to preach to the people that I was preaching to. And there was a bunch of dead, dry bones. And that's exactly what I do. That's what every preacher's doing. Huh? That's what every preacher does. We tell people all the time, Christ gives life. This is what God said. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. God said, everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father, he comes unto me. God said, you cannot hear my word because you're not of my sheep. God said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. God said that all men are dead in trespasses and sins. God said that salvation is by grace through faith and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. God said it's not of works lest any man should boast. God said that righteousness, the only righteousness that will make us acceptable to God is the righteousness of Christ. God said Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God said all the promises of are in Christ are yea and amen. God said.
Amen.
God said, be still and know that I am the Lord. God said, I will do my will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. I will. I will. That's what God said. And a man that's been carried out in the Spirit and people that's been given life, they know that I am the Lord. And oh my, he preaches these commandments. He didn't change the word. He didn't look for a version that would... He didn't go look for a version of the Bible that folks would find it easy to understand. No. He didn't question the condition of these bones. He didn't say, oh my Lord, they ain't got no ears. They ain't got no eyes. They ain't got no hands that they can reach out to you with. They ain't got no feet they can come to you with. Oh Lord, what in the world? Why would you have me to do this? No. He didn't question God's willingness nor ability to give life to this very many, very dry bones. I want you to keep that look with me over in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 4. You know, Paul says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That fellow I was talking to yesterday, he says, you know, that's what I've heard all my life, what we've done all our lives. And I said, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's what you've done. It's not what you do for God, not what you do for the Lord. It's what the Lord does for you.
That's right.
So he changed the subject. After about a half a dozen times or a dozen times, tell me he changed the subject sometimes. What else are you going to tell a man other than how can you call on him? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the scripture. Romans 10:13. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And that word heard means hear with understanding. Hear to know. How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall a preacher preach except to be sent? So then faith in Christ, faith in God, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And these dead dry bones can't hear a thing, but it's in the preaching and it's in the following what God said, doing what God commanded, that God does His work. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
That's right.
And if I waited for... And I tell you, I told those folks out in California, I said, I can't do nothing to save myself or keep myself safe. And I can't do nothing to save you. And aren't you glad that it's that way? And everyone said, amen. We'd be in bad shape if salvation depended on us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. If it depended upon our willingness, our ability, our sight to see, our ability to hear, our ability to come, without God sending a preacher to tell you, without God telling you what condition you're in, and without the preacher questioning God, there'd be no hope for a soul on the top side of God's earth. Now, it's hopeless for these fellas. It is hopeless as far as this preacher's concerned.
Yeah.
But that's why God asked the question, because the answer's in the question. Can these bones live? Oh, God, you're the only one who knows that. But look here in Acts chapter 4. This is what happens when men are called of God to preach. And this is what Ezekiel done. He preached as his commandment. Here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. Now this is after John and Peter had healed the lame man at the gate. And they got a great crowd around. He began to preach to them. Well, the Pharisees and the chief priests and them, they got upset about it. They said, oh my, these fellas are preaching and a lot of people are following. So it's verse 16, it says this, saying, they brought those fellows in, stood them before them, and saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done, that by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. Now this is the authority of all authority here in the land. Hit to speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now they don't care for them preaching. They don't care for them talking. They don't care for people gathering up. Just don't mention the Lord's name. Just don't preach Christ. Just don't tell these folks that there's no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Don't tell them that this is the stone that God set in the corner and that they stumble over it and resist it. And oh, they called them and commanded them. Now look in verse 18. Not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, boy, that winds it up. These fellas are going to fold their tent and they're going to the house. And they said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not preaching these dead, dry bones anymore. No. What Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. Oh my, a fellow says, don't you? I'm going to go on preaching. He said, you don't. And then look over here in Acts chapter 5. Well, they was out there preaching again. They upset these fellows, and they got over 70 men together at one time. Called these fellows back in, put them in jail, kept them in jail. God come that night, brought them out of jail. Said, you go right back where you was and start preaching again. So they sent down to jail to get them that morning. They wasn't in jail. Where was they at? They come down and said, those men that was in jail you put there last night, guess where they? We found them out this morning. They were there preaching again. Oh, my. Well, then it says in verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, and they're teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And he began to preach Christ to them. Now look what happened down in verse 40. They all agreed to what Gamaliel said, and they had called the apostles and beat them, and commanded, didn't ask them, never told them they'd rather not do this, commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. God said, preach. They said, we're going to preach. They said, shut up. That's what old Ezekiel done. And what he said in verse 7 here, he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, oh my, you see, this is one of Abraham's children. Oh, Ezekiel is one of Abraham's descendants, who against hope believed in hope. He considered nothing. He didn't consider the bones. He didn't consider the valley. He didn't consider the condition of the bones. He just considered one thing, the Word of the Lord, the Word of God. Oh, for such faith, for such obedience. And he did what he done. He bid the dead to hear the voice of the Son of God. And the promise is, they that hear shall live. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Shall live. Uh-huh. Oh my, look what happens now in verse 7. So I preached as I was commanded. And as I was preaching, there was a noise. He started hearing a noise. Oh my. You see a noise. You hear a noise. You see folks start showing a little interest, you know. You just see them start paying a little bit of attention. You see them start reading their Bibles. And they start coming to the services. And they start coming on Sunday morning. A little while there's some on Sunday night. Next thing you know, they're there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Huh? There's a little noise going on. And then there's a shaking. He said, and then not only was there a noise, but there was a shaking. He heard some rattling. Oh my. There's a fear, some shaking going on. And then, oh my, a shaking together. And the bones began to come together. Bone to bone to bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, sinews began to come on. All the things that makes the bones and all that be held together. All that makes them be able to move. And then not only that, but he says, flesh came upon them. We ought not think this is strange. When a man was dead for 4 days and it already started stinking, and death had got such a hold on him, and Christ just called him by name, and death and the corruption and everything reversed itself, and he come out of there alive. That's what God does. He said, I came to restore that which I didn't take away. Huh? And oh my, then flesh came upon them, and skin covered them. So, oh, this is a very impressive thing. If you're standing there, and oh my, you hear this noise, and all these bones go to rattling, and they all start going together, and then sinews start coming upon, skin comes on, and there they stand. They got eyes, they got ears, they got feet, and they got hands, they got skin all over them, they got lips. And then all of a sudden, look what happens. There's no breath in them. Oh, they look alive. They look like something's really happened. I mean, they look impressive. I mean, it looks like something's really going on now. But there's still no life. Still no breath. Why? You look like you're alive. You got skin. You can stand up. You can hear. You can see. You can talk. Looks like you got life. But our Lord said, you must be born again. Everything's necessary here for these men to move. But there's no life in them. No life. Where are we going to get life? Where are we going to get this life for these dead people? Where are we going to get that at? I ain't got it. Church ain't got it.
No.
You ain't got it. The evangelist ain't got it. The doctor ain't got it. He can do something to make you a little more comfortable. Make your body a little bit better than it was before you went in. But you must be born again. And where's this life come? It comes from above.
Yeah.
Huh? You must be born from above. Above, from above, where grace comes from. It comes from God. From Him who alone has to give it. As the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given the Son to have life in Him. As the Father raises the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. And let me ask you, has there been a shaking in your soul? Has there been a noise in your soul? Has there been a stirring in your soul? Has there been a stirring in your mind? Has there been a shaking in you? Huh? Have you been quickened to life? To where you can hear the voice now of the Lord God Himself? Have you got past just hearing the preacher? Do you hear God? Do you believe it's the Word of God? Do you respond with life and faith and say, yes, that's true. Yes, I need that. Yes, I love that. Yes, I embrace that. Yes, I submit to that. Yes, preacher, I believe all that. Have you had that shaken? Have you been quickened alive? Well, watch what happens. Where are we going to get this life? And then he said unto me in verse 9, no breath in him, no life in him. Oh, it's a very impressive thing. Then said he unto me, preach to the wind. First he told him to preach to a bunch of dead, dry bones. Then he said, now start talking to the wind. If you see somebody out here talking, just out here in the middle of nowhere, talking to a bunch of dry bones, and he starts saying, wind! The wind blows where it listeth. Boy, forget this. Oh my, you see some sense of the responsibility of this? What? He didn't say again. He didn't say, what? What in the world? Why would I talk to the wind? Huh? Oh my. Now preach to the wind. And he says, son of man, preach to the wind. And this is what I want you to say to the wind. I'm going to give you just exactly what you ought to say. I told you what to tell those bones. And look what happened when I told you what to tell them bones. Now I want you to talk to the wind, and this is what I want you to tell the wind. Come from the four winds. Come from the east, come from the west, come from the north, come from the south. Just come. And oh, when the wind comes. And God said, I'll bring my people from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, and I'll say, give them up. Give them up. And oh my. And say, come forth from the four winds, O breath. Breath. And breathe. Breathe upon these slain that they may live. And thus saith the Lord God, only God controls the wind. You know, we hear the sound. We heard the sound of it. They didn't know where it's coming from, but look what happened when it blew. Look what happened when it blew. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the spirit that quickens.
That's right.
Our Lord says the wind blows where it wishes, you hear the sound of it. You see the effects of it. And I tell you, when the wind blows, when the Holy Ghost blows, when the Spirit of God comes and He blows, you can see it blow. And you can feel it blow. And then you can see the effects of it blowing. And I tell you, when you see the effects of it blowing, there's life. Ain't that right? Except you're born of water and the Spirit gives you the effects of life. When you're sitting watching the wind blowing, those leaves are going this way and shaking all around and limbs coming out of, you see the effects of that wind. And that's the way it is when it blows on a soul. You see the effects of that life. And oh my, that's why God took Adam. And Adam was standing there just like these fellas was. He's standing there with eyes and ears and hands and feet and hair on his head and everything that it, oh, he looked, but he's standing there. And then God come up, put his mouth over him. The Lord Jesus walked up to him, put his mouth on that Adam's mouth and breathed. He come alive just like that. Has God breathed on you? Huh? Oh my. So he says there in verse, and that's the only way you're going to live for the Spirit of God to come blow on you. And if He blows on you, it'll be obvious that He did. It'll tell on you. It'll come out on you. You'll be bent double. You'll have all that self-righteousness and all that self-confidence and all. Oh my, you'll just have everything stripped off of you. Just be there bare. It blows so hard, strip your clothes off. And there one thing will cover you back up. And that's the righteousness of Christ. And oh my, look what happened. So I prophesied again as He commanded me. He told me what to say. And watch what happens. And the breath came into them. And watch this. And they lived. They lived. Oh my, they lived. And not only that, but they stood upon their feet. And he said, oh, it was an exceeding great army. What did our Lord say? A multitude that no man can number, exceed great army. These bones, these valley of dead, dry bones, there's now life, there's now sight, there's now sound, there's now feeling, there's now moving, there's emotions, there's affections, there's a standing up in a great army. Oh my, God's not niggardly in giving His life. He gives it to a multitude that no man can number. Let me give you this real quickly. Look at His blessed promise. So He gives life. This is the condition of men. Dead and dry. Only the preaching. God uses preaching. It's by the preaching. By His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the Word of God which lives and abides forever. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, our Lord said. And so He said, I prophesied. Then in verse 11, look at this promise here. Then He said unto me, Son of man, He told me what this was all about. These bones are the whole house of Israel. That's what we are. We're on the trail of God's sheep. We don't know who they are. He didn't know who these bones were. He just seen dead, dry bones. God said, this is Israel. This is my people. It's my people. And they said, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. And oh my, they saw their awful need. Therefore preach unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, watch this, I love this. Behold, O my people. Oh, my people, look down verse 27 to show you this talking about spiritual Israel here in verse 27 of Ezekiel 37. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Ain't that what He said? He said that in 2 Corinthians 6:16. In the tabernacle, the Word was made flesh and sent to dwell among us. And then look what He says. Oh, my people, I'll open your graves. He calls every one of them by name. Lazarus, come on forth. And oh, when He calls them, they're coming out of the grave. They're not going to debate. They're not going to argue. They're not going to question. They got life. They can't help but come out of the grave. And watch this. And I'll bring you into the land of Israel. And you know that the land of Israel is the promised land. Yeah. It's the land that God promised. And beloved, God's going to take us into the promised land. If we enter into the promised land, He says, I will bring you. I'm not going to send you into it. I'm going to go and bring you into it.
That's right.
And beloved, He'll bring many sons unto glory. And if we enter into the promised land, if we enter into Christ, if we enter into salvation, if we enter into the promises of God, He's got to bring us. And then look what He says in verse 14. And I shall put my spirit in you. And you'll live. Ain't that what He said? He said that all the way through Ezekiel 36. I'll put my spirit within you. And oh, I'll put my spirit in you. And you shall live. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And watch this. And I'll place you in your own land. I'll put you among the Lord's people. I'll put you in your land. I'll put you where you need to be. I'll put you where I want you to be. I'll put you in something that's yours and I'll give it to you. And this is the reason I'm going to do it. Then you'll know. There won't be no doubt about it. There'll be no questioning. There'll be no wondering. There'll be no pondering what happened. Then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. This is what thus saith the Lord. And that I performed it, saith the Lord. Not only did I speak it, but I done it. Tell us why Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He will bring me. David said he will perfect that which concerns me. He will bring me to grace and glory. And oh, beloved, no wonder we sang to God be the glory. Great things He had done. God gets all the glory. That's what He done that for. And that's the way it's going to always be. We're going to know with the Lord. Salvation to the Lord. Our Father, gracious, gracious God. Oh Lord, You set us in the midst of a world full of dead, very many, very dead, very dry bones. And Lord, You gave us a message. You told us what to say. And oh Lord, we, by Your blessed grace, want to be faithful to that. And I pray that the wind has blown here today, that breath has come into the soul, that life has been given to the soul, to the soul of one of Your people here today, to one of the house of Israel, to one of Abraham's children. I pray that it's been so. And I pray that it will be so. Enable us to be faithful and to preach what we're commanded. And we bless You and praise You in Christ's holy name. Amen.